The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday in Advent is from Jeremiah chapter 33. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell securely. And this is the name by which it will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. With thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God, as we pray most earnestly day and night that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all of his saints. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 19th chapter. When Jesus had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, saying, go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? You shall say this, the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went away and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners said to them, why are you untying the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of it. And they brought it to Jesus. And throwing their cloaks on the colt, they sat Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, rebuke your disciples. He answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text is Luke chapter 19, 28 to 40. The sermon title is Jesus Comes for You. You may be seated. On December 22nd, 1947, the Los Angeles Times headlines reported that Air Force Captain Charles Chuck Yeager was the first man in history to break the sound barrier in a rocket ship known as the X-1. From that day forward, 1947, science fiction became science fact. Astronauts flying in rockets into outer space caught the world's imagination. People began to wonder if there was alien life out there. What might happen if the aliens visit us here on planet Earth? Some of the most popular movies about aliens visiting Earth are still worth watching today. The Day the Earth Stood Still, released in 1951, starred the humanoid Klaatu and Gort, his robot friend. Although they were misunderstood, Klaatu and Gort are friends of mankind who try to help us avoid atomic war. War of the Worlds, released in 1953, was based on the novel by H.G. Wells, in which Martians invade the Earth and try to conquer mankind, but they catch something like COVID, and that's the end of them. 2001, A Space Odyssey, released in 1968, just before Americans landed on the moon, is about invisible aliens who have come to help mankind take its next step in evolution. Now, here's some you might remember if you never saw those. Close Encounters of the Third Kind, released in 1977, was about a man from Indiana, a true Hoosier, I might say, who witnesses a UFO that is somehow associated with abductions. That doesn't sound very friendly to me. E.T., the Extraterrestrial, released in 1982, was about an endearing alien child who is lost and just wants to go home. Ghostbusters, released in 1984, was about a trio of eccentric parapsychologists who try to stop an invasion of Manhattan by semi-transparent spirits and the Sumerian god named Gozer. Independence Day, released in 1996, and starring Will Smith and Judd Hirsch, was it about an invasion by aliens, a version of War of the World on steroids. More recently, Monsters vs. Aliens, released in 2009, which was one of my kids' favorite movies at the time, was a computer animated look at the theme of alien invasions. The most recent movie of this genre is titled Eternals and was released this month in theaters. It was produced by Marvel Studios and distributed by Disney. It is about ancient aliens who have been living on Earth in secret for thousands of years. Following the events of the movie Avengers Endgame, an unexpected tragedy forces the Eternals out of the shadows to reunite against mankind's most ancient enemy, the Deviants. Now, if you look across all these space invasion movies, it seems as if we humans can't decide whether aliens would be good or bad, helpful or harmful. Now, I don't know about you, but I've already made up my mind that if I met a real alien, I would be very cautious. How would I know their intent? How would I know their powers? Well, I would try to be friendly, but could I trust them? What if they invited me to go into their spaceship and they promised to be back after midnight? Should I go with them? Or should I call the U.S. Department of Homeland Security? Now, I hope you all know that this is all science fiction, because there are no real UFOs or aliens out there. But mankind did have one visitor from outer space 2,000 years ago, and his name was Jesus of Nazareth. He was nothing less than the Son of God. In the Old Testament, he's known as the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9, verse 6. Our gospel lesson today is all about his coming to earth for you in peace. At Jesus' baptism, the people had some sort of close encounter of the third kind, seeing the heavens opened, hearing a voice, and watching a glowing dove alight on Jesus' shoulders. That's Luke 3, 21 to 22. After he started doing miracles, the leaders of the Jews realized that he had supernatural powers, and they became very cautious and wary, suspicious. Some thought he was Beelzebub, the prince of demons, who would have had the Sumerian god Gozer for lunch. Others thought he was possessed by a demon that is controlled by aliens through some sort of Jedi mind control. For those who didn't know Jesus personally, his powers were an imminent threat to national security. No wonder the Sanhedrin ordered his death for the safety of their people, as they said. Now, Jesus may have been from outer space, but he was also completely human, and we have the Virgin Mary to thank him for that. Mary not only allowed the Holy Spirit to cause her to conceive Jesus, but she also gave birth to him, nursed him, cared for him, raised him, and taught him many things, as all mothers do. Mary was a Jew, so Jesus was a Jew too. He looked like a Jew, talked like a Jew, ate like a Jew, and thought like a Jew. I remember that Jesus was Jewish every time I eat a kosher pickle, a good bagel, or matzo ball soup. He was one of them. More important than the fact that Jesus was a Jew was the fact that he was humble. And we have his guardian Joseph to thank for that. Joseph was a carpenter, which meant that he worked for a living by making things out of wood. This could have involved also the construction of buildings and their furniture. As was the custom, Jesus took up the trade of his father. Justin Martyr, who died in 165 AD, wrote that Jesus make yokes and plows, things that animals would use. And there are similar early references in Christian literature. In any event, Jesus was by trade a working man, and a common working man at that. In our gospel, we see Jesus entering Jerusalem on the day that we Christians call Palm Sunday. On that occasion, Jesus used the mode of transport that he was used to. Donkeys were the working man's pickup truck, and he'd used them many times in his father's business in Nazareth. Although Jesus had amassed quite a following in 3 years, he did not enter Jerusalem with any sort of pretense. He didn't borrow a fancy limousine. He was what he was, and so rode into the city on the working man's pickup truck. Excuse me, a donkey and its colt. Now, if Jesus had meant any harm to the Jews or to humans, Holy Week would have been the time to accomplish it. Thousands of Jews from around the world and his own followers from Galilee were all together there for the festival of unleavened bread and the Passover. He met with and taught many of these people throughout the week, but he caused no disturbance and no harm. When he was arrested on Thursday evening, he told Peter and his disciples to put away their swords. He told his disciples that he could command a legion of angels to protect him in a minute if he wished, Matthew 26:53. When Pilate confronted him with his suspicions, Jesus replied, "My kingdom is not of this world," and he did not fight back. When Jesus was done with the work of dying for your sins and for the sins of the whole world, he rose from the dead, appeared to many, and then ascended back into outer space in view of all of his disciples. Jesus said, and it became obvious that Jesus was some type of king. But what kind? Jesus told Pilate during his trial, "You rightly say that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I've come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." John 18:37. Jesus came to earth so that you would listen to his voice, to his words, and his truth. The entire Christian church and this congregation is a big waste of time and money if it's not about God's truth and his relationship to you and his gift of salvation. The Nicene Creed summarizes the truth about Jesus when it says, "Who, for us men and for our salvation, came down from heaven." That's why he came from outer space. Jesus came for you and for your salvation. Therefore, take and receive his words to heart. Receive the forgiveness of sins in his absolution and baptism. And receive his true body and blood for eternal life, for your salvation now and forever. In the name of Jesus, the one who came, who comes, and who will be coming soon. In his name, amen.